Welcome to the Believer's Walk of Faith, empowering believers through teaching, preaching, and demonstration of the uncompromised Word of God to fulfill their highest calling and change this world through Jesus Christ, to glorify God in all we do, to train up and send out believers, to cover the whole earth with the knowledge of the Lord. Welcome to the Believer's Walk of Faith.
Hello, I'm Bill Winston, and welcome to another program. The program that you're watching is called The Believer's Walk of Faith, where we walk by faith and not by sight. Well, we have another exciting teaching for you today. We're teaching on the blessing of Abraham. Now, in this particular teaching, we're teaching how Jesus himself bore our pain and our punishment and our poverty. When he was hung on that cross, he took everything that you and I deserve that was under the curse of the law. Now, because he bore it, we don't have to bear it. We don't have to be sick. We don't have to be punished anymore. We don't have to be in pain. And we certainly don't have to be poor. Praise the Lord. Now, what you have to do, you and I, we have to renew our minds to that. Because me just telling you that, you heard it. But that hearing was just in your mind. But you need to really hear it. Praise God. It needs to go from your mind down into your heart. And when it does, and you act on that, then you'll see the blessing of Abraham manifesting in your life. Now, I'm going to teach more of this. Get your Bibles and pencils and papers ready. Ready to take some good notes now. Let's go into it. It's called The Blessing of Abraham.
Christ became a curse for us. Now, go with me and look at Isaiah chapter 53, please. Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, what's happening? We're healed. Now, this is before Jesus ever came into the earth. It was a prophetic word uttered by a prophet of how Jesus was going to be used by God. Now, notice what it said in here. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now, the word griefs translates sicknesses and diseases, cholai, sickness and diseases, infirmities. He bore all of that. Then it says here, and carried our sorrows. Sorrows translates pain, suffering, and punishment. So now that ought to be written in your Bible. Because you got to renew your mind to that. And in a minute, you're going to see why. Because you got to know that he bore that. He bore your punishment. You acted up, and he took the punishment for it. He was our substitute. So here he was on the cross. Now he bore all of that. Then he died. They took him down. And then his spirit and soul went to hell. Paid a price for us. Then in 3 days, when God saw that justice had been satisfied, because the wages of sin is what? Death. Then Jesus was raised up. Now, once he was raised up, he went through that tomb and got that body. And he showed himself to the disciples. He said, listen, handle me, boys. See that I'm flesh and bone. The blood was gone. Flesh and bone, just, you know, like you are. And doubting Thomas, you know, he told Thomas, put your finger in the holes in my hands. Yes, yes. Now, I want you to see that. Because when he was raised, the Bible says he was justified in the spirit. Now, what does that mean? See, Adam was the first man born from life to death. God told him, don't eat of that tree. The day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And he ate of it, and he was born from life to death. Now, he couldn't get out of death. Now, Jesus had to come and get us out of it. But the way he got us out of it is had it so that we could be born again. Because Adam died, all died. Because we are all in Adam. He had the seed. Seed produces after its own kind. Now, would you listen at this? So Jesus was raised from the dead. So now Jesus is raised from the dead. And here is Jesus. He's saying, put your finger in the holes in my hands. And they put him in their hands and they can see the evidence of sin. Because he was made to be what? Sin for us. Are you following what I'm saying? He was made to be sin. So they could see the evidence of sin right on his body. I'm saying he was born from death to life. Born again. The Bible says over in Hebrews, again the Father said, I have begotten you. So you were born from that. But can't you see what I'm saying? I'm saying that he was born from death to life. But there was evidence of the previous life still in his life. Can't you see what I'm saying? The evidence of how you used to live might be still up on you. But that don't make it that you ain't born again. You got what I'm saying? And isn't it just like the enemy? He's the accuser of the brethren. So what did he try to do? He tries to deceive you out of your new birth and your inheritance. He tries to tell you that you're not born again. That look at you. It is still so forth and so on. But you are. Your mind is just not renewed. So, now what happened? It says here that he took my punishment. Because the mind, now the conscious and subconscious and conscience, see, something got to happen to that. Because that, you still, well, let's go to somewhere. Let's go to Hebrews. Chapter 9 now. Hebrews chapter 9. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Underline eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You got what I'm saying? See, it's hard to serve God guilty. See, the job of Satan is to tell you how guilty you are. He is to remind you of, he comes to remind you of everything you did wrong. And even when you act like you resist it, he'll get Pookie and them to come and remind you. And Bubba and them, baby. And they'll remind you, come on now. See, you might have evidence with you that you did wrong. But that evidence should not affect your walk with God. And the only reason the enemy can make it affect you is because your mind is not renewed. You just came to church, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and going back out here just as guilty as you was. But he's saying that the blood of bulls and goats was not sufficient enough to cleanse your conscience.
Right.
When you come in here and find out what's right, you got to understand that, wait a second, hold on now. The man that did that died. Are you following what I'm saying? See, Paul was hauling Christians off to jail. The Bible says he had gotten letters from the religious hierarchy and those Sanhedrin and those people, because Paul, the Bible says he was taught by Gamaliel. He was a Pharisee. He was a stricter of the law. And he would, if you can imagine, breaking in somebody's house. He was a terrorist. Breaking in somebody's house, grabbing the woman, she's on her knees praying, grabbing her, dragging her out, and the kids crying, "Mama, mama, don't leave, mama, mama." And Paul didn't have no mercy. Now, one day on the Damascus Road, come on now, a light shined on him brighter than the noonday sun. When his eyes were open, he saw what he had done. Now, even though he got born again, now his mind is guilty. So he's got to do something with the guilt. So now he comes up with the fact of Romans chapter 8. Come on over there with me, with your smart self. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, let me know when you get there. Verse 1. There is therefore now no, underline no, condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the word, or after the spirit. God knows what you did before you got saved. Well, I've been married 5 times. Well, that's just 4 dumb mistakes you made. Make this one work. Praise God. Because there ain't no condemnation. Now, why does he have to take condemnation away? Because condemnation is a disease of the spirit. And God doesn't condemn you. Jesus said, "I didn't come in the world to condemn the world. They are condemned already. I came to save them." The Holy Spirit doesn't condemn you, he convicts you. And conviction is different from condemnation, because conviction keeps faith intact. And I need faith to resist the devil. If I don't have faith working, then nothing is left but fear and condemnation. And condemnation is a disease of my spirit. So then my spirit gets infirm and weak. And when it gets infirm and weak, then here comes temptation, and I don't have enough strength to stand against it. Then I end up sinning again. Now, what's happening? When guilt comes in, people feel guilty. People feel like ashamed of the past and so forth. Now, what's happening? Inside of them, that guilt or condemnation sets off an alarm, and it's ringing. And what they're trying to do is get it off. Some try to come to early service on Sunday. They're trying to do works to get the guilt out. They're trying to get it out by human means. Most every false religion started has been started out of sin consciousness. And when that alarm is off, people are doing things, and condemnation, people who are condemned can't see right. They misjudge who God is and misjudge who God says they are. Because condemnation won't let them see the truth. And so what do? They do all kinds of silly stuff because they're trying to get the alarm off. They're trying to say, well, if I just do this, maybe that thing will shut off. Maybe I'll feel better about myself. If I just, I deserve this sickness because, I missed God back in 1949 and so forth and so on. And they don't resist Satan. We call it in the military shooting yourself in the foot. They'll make decisions that'll bring them into problems and into a hard life because they're trying to get the guilt out. Some of them think they're called to the ministry. Ain't called to the ministry.
Yes.
That's Satan using condemnation to manipulate them.
Amen.
They think because showing up in church, they're going to feel better. They'll go home. They'll feel better for about 24 hours.
Yes.
But the accuser is still running.
Yes.
He's still pointing out your past.
Yes.
Now, I'm telling you this because if you think he's going to mess with you at any time, he's going to mess with you when you go towards that money.
That's
when you're going to know what you made out of. Now, condemnation will destroy you. What do you think happened when Judas sold out Jesus? What did Judas do to himself? He committed suicide. Condemnation will drive you to do things to yourself to try to get that alarm off that you never thought you'd do. I'm going to go out here. I'm going to just go and get high. You're going to try to turn the alarm off what you're trying to do. And it's got your spirit weak. See, this, you got to resist Satan by faith. Faith don't come out of your head. Ain't no, and not 1 ounce of faith in your head. All faith comes out of it's a spirit. It's a force. But if your spirit diseased, ain't nothing coming out.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Ooh, are you following what I'm saying? Paul said, there is therefore now what? No condemnation. And the Bible says that the blood of bulls and goats and heifers and all of that, they couldn't get it out. The only thing they could do is cover for sins. But he said, the blood of Christ, he said, will purge your conscience from dead works so that you can serve the living God. The blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. So when the enemy comes, and the Bible says that Satan accuses you before God day and night. Now here he is, he's the accuser. He is the prosecuting attorney. He's coming before God. The Bible says in Hebrew, God is the judge. So here, God is the judge. Here comes the prosecuting attorney bringing up your name. Now, what happens is Jesus, the Bible says, is your advocate.
Yeah.
So now, the judge stands up there and says, well, now, do I have anyone for the defense? Jesus said, yes, sir, I'm for the defense, Your Honor. Are you following what I'm saying? Well, the next thing he's going to ask you is, do you have any proof or do you have any witnesses? Because you got to have at least two or three witnesses. And Jesus said, yes, sir, I do have some witnesses, Your Honor. He says, who is your witness? He said, the blood. The Bible says that the blood speaks. Jesus, when he was raised from the dead, he said Mary tried to touch him. He said, touch me not. I've not yet ascended to my Father and your Father. You see, Jesus was functioning then as the high priest. And once the high priest sprinkled himself in the Old Testament with blood, nobody could touch him because he was about to go into the Holy of Holies before Almighty God. So Jesus went on up, but he went on up, and what do you think he had with him? The blood. He had the blood because he had to put the blood on the mercy seat. And when he put the blood there, the blood cried out, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty.
Well, praise the Lord. I trust that you enjoy that teaching. Now, again, that is a teaching that has to do with God's blessing and His way of doing things and God's plan for our lives. It is a powerful teaching. Now, this is an offering day. This is a time that you can now have a chance to sow back into the lives or into the ministry as you have been blessed. If you've been watching our programs and been blessed, been helped, and been encouraged by our programs, we just ask you to sow into this ministry. Now, as you sow your financial seed, keep things in mind like this, that there was a woman who had only one meal left, and the man of God was instructed by God and sent to this woman. Now, when he went down there, he asked her to get him some water. She went to get it, but he said, hold it. He said, make me a cake. She said, well, now, wait a minute. I've not just a handful of meal in a barrel. I've just got a little cruse of oil, and I was making a cake for me and my son that we may eat it and die. You see, the famine is on. Well, there may be a famine in your life, and God has just sent you a prophet. That's me. Praise God. I'm saying, if you don't have no other ways, look for the sent one. Because as God sends somebody into your life, He's sending the word in your life, He's sending the person into your life. Now, this ministry opportunity that you can sow in. Now, this woman at first got fear in her mind, because the first thing that happens when you're having a little and think you're going to run out, fear may try to grip your heart. But what you have to do is overcome fear with faith. You have to step out on the word of God. If God says give and it'll be given back to you, believe God over your circumstances. So what did that woman do? She sowed into the life of the man of God, and her barrel of meal began to multiply, and the cruse of oil didn't fall out, didn't fail, and she just had enough all during the famine, and until the rains came, she could be able to be blessed. Now, I'm saying to you, I don't know how long the economic tight places and meltdowns and recession is going to last, but I tell you this, you have a way to operate above it. You can locate the sent one. Praise God. I'm telling you, it's time for you to sow. See, you can get outside of your own abilities, and the things of God are already prepared for us. If you're a believer, if you're a child of the living God, He's made provisions for you. Here's what it says in Psalms chapter 37 and 19. In the days of famine, you shall be satisfied. You see, when times get tough, God's going to give you more than enough. Why? He wants you to be able to glorify Him, but also take care of maybe some other people that are around you. So He's going to give you more than enough, even in tight times. But the way you get into it is one way, by sowing seed. So we are opening up this opportunity for you to sow into this ministry. And as you do sow your seed and get it in mind or put it on a piece of paper of what you're going to sow, you may say, I only have a little bit. It only takes a little bit. But God will multiply back to you a lot. So as you do that, just prepare that seed. And as you prepare to sow it, I want to pray over that seed right now that seed will go and grow and bring you back the harvest that's much beyond your paycheck. This is your time for your jubilee, for your financial miracle. So let's pray over it right now. Father, I pray for those viewing audience who are sowing into this ministry. I pray now for the multiplied return. I pray for an anointing to go and to grow, and that you would bring them back to them quickly, that multiplied return, that they could have much more than they had even at the beginning. Father, you said in the days of famine, we shall have abundance. We stand on that word and believe that as we've given, now it is given back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, men are giving to our bosom. Father, we thank you for it. Call it done in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's all you have to do. Folks, you don't have to feel it. You don't have to get emotional about it. No, it's just the Word of God. We release our faith, and God does the work. Well, this is Bill Winston. Thank you so much for partnering with us, for donating into this ministry, or just listening and praying for us. We thank you so much. We just count it a blessing that you have even thought to tune into our programs. We are so blessed by having you to have a relationship with us. Thank you so much. Well, that's all we have for this time. We have the address and phone number on your screen. If you need to call someone, if you need to order our products, please do so. We have people standing there. They're going to turn it around, that order. We're going to get that order back out to you just as quickly as possible because we know you need the Word because the Word brings faith. Praise God. This is Bill Winston saying, we'll see you next time. Until then, keep walking by faith.
When Adam sinned, the curse of poverty fell upon all mankind. But God had a plan. A plan that included Jesus, a blood covenant, and the blessing of Abraham.
The blessing of Abraham is superior to any systems in the earth. And, glory to God, anyone operating in the new economy will destroy the entire economic system of the elite.
Your life will manifest the material abundance that God has provided when you build your faith with Dr. Bill Winston's barrier-breaking series entitled The Blessing of Abraham.
All you got to do is depend on him, listen to him, do what he says, and all his blessings gonna come on you and overtake you. Blessing for gold, blessing for silver, blessing for cattle, blessing for business, blessing for property, blessing for blessing for blessing for blessing.
To order this breakthrough series entitled The Blessing of Abraham, write to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois 60303. By bank card at 1-800-711-9327 or online at www.billwinston.org. Pastor Bill Winston personally invites you to Living Word Christian Center, located at 7600 West Roosevelt Road in Forest Park, Illinois. Our Sunday services are at 7, 9, or 11:15 a.m. with a midweek Bible study Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. For more information, please call 708-697-5000. For information on visiting our satellite churches located in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and Tuskegee, Alabama, visit our website at www.billwinston.org. Today's message is available in its entirety on CD or DVD when you use the product number on your screen by writing to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois 60303, by bank card at 1-800-711-9327 or online at www.billwinston.org. The Believer's Walk of Faith is paid for by Bill Winston Ministries partners and viewers.